Welcome to each and every one of you for this Parkinson's Recovery Support Group gathering for December 2017. The last Monday in the month is actually Monday, and since that's Christmas, we're convening our support group at a little different time. Today is Friday, December the 22nd. Thank you so much for connecting in. As is our custom, I want to first provide some review of the developments from the last month, from the time when we had our previous support group meeting. And then, of course, I'll connect in with each of you to see what's up, what questions do you have, and what kind of support can I offer for you today. So let me offer then a preview of the kinds of developments that we have been able to produce, experience, and celebrate for this month of December. First of all, on your jokes member page, so as you each know, there are 12 different member pages that have different information. The one page that's really quite fascinating is a page where each and every weekday I post a funny joke. You're probably thinking, if you've seen this, why in the world is this something that I need to see or do? It's actually very important. It's not the joke itself. It's laughing out loud that makes the big difference. When you laugh out loud, your body produces hordes of, get this, dopamine. Of course, relying on medicines is one way to make that happen, but the natural way and the very effective way is to laugh out loud. The idea of my joke a day is you listen to the joke or you read the joke, and hopefully you'll think it's somewhat funny, and then that encourages you to not just laugh inside quietly, but laugh out loud. Like that, like I just did. I wasn't saying anything funny, but I laughed. Now, what I've done over the past 3 or 4 months is hire a actually very expensive programmer to make those jokes every weekday available to you on your Android phone. So what I want you to do is to go ahead and access those jokes on your phone, because you'll get a little alert every weekday that there's a new joke that's available. And that means, okay, it's time to laugh, it's time to make dopamine. That's what this is all about. So what's the additional cost? Well, it's 5 cents a day. That's it, 5 cents. Now, in order to be able to download the new app, which again took about 3 or 4 months of really very concentrated work between myself and the programmer and a lot of expense, what I want to just suggest you need to do is, using your Android phone, using your phone, access the Google Play icon, and then all you have to do is to search on Parkinson's Recovery, and then it's called Joke a Day. It's easy to find. And then just download that to your phone, and then you'll be prompted to see the joke. When you see the joke, read the joke, hear the joke, laugh out loud. Admittedly, you probably see some jokes that you'll think, that's not really that funny. Well, let's face it, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter whether you're laughing out loud or not. Some of them I laugh out loud instantly, and some of them I think, well, that's, I guess, a little funny, and maybe some people will think that's a little funny, but I don't think it's a really funny. Well, it doesn't matter. The point is, you want to invite your body to laugh out loud. And again, the huge benefit is it produces dopamine. So on the Google Play, access from your phone, download the Parkinson's Recovery Joke a Day app, and begin to laugh out loud each and every day. What I realized is I do post the jokes on the member website, but a number of you are not actually accessing the member websites every day, so you're not laughing every day. So that's the one kind of a development that I'm pleased and to announce that we finally have that project completed here at the end of the year. Next wonderful announcement is I have been recruiting a functional medicine physician or doctor to be on the radio show for 3 years. I've invited the movers and shakers, the founders of functional medicine, you name it. And I have to say, after about 10 invitations, I've been turned down each time until just this last month. I was able to recruit a functional medicine medical doctor, Dr. Jennifer Kiesman, and she provided a wonderful review of how functional medicine physicians treat their patients. It's very different from the traditional medical doctors. The big picture then is that there is a small subset of medical doctors that really decided they didn't want to spend the rest of their lives prescribing medicines that suppressed symptoms. What they wanted to do is to begin to investigate the cause of those symptoms and address the cause. That, for many of you, will sound very familiar because that's exactly what naturopath doctors have been doing for decades. But now, again, there's a subset of medical doctors who are approaching medicine in a way that's very similar to how naturopath doctors have approached it. Now, their testing is very traditional. They typically use blood tests and other kind of standard medical tests. But the big difference is, instead of focusing on prescribing medicines that suppress symptoms, what they want to do is ask the question, well, what's causing the symptoms, and address that. So it's a wonderful interview. I invite you to listen to that particular interview. The second radio show interview was, I want to say, very fascinating. Bill Curtis is an individual that, again, I have recruited Bill to be a guest on Parkinson's Recovery Radio since 2014. And he was hesitant. He felt like he really did not have enough experience with his own symptoms, learning what helped and what didn't help. He wanted more time. And he was working in conjunction with researchers at the National Institute of Health, Dr. Richard Veach. Now, I've been following Dr. Veach's work for over a decade. He's an amazing researcher, and the focus of his research has been on ketones. Bill Curtis is an individual with Parkinson's that collaborated with Dr. Veach. He also lives in Washington, D.C., as does, of course, Dr. Veach. And he has been sort of a volunteer research subject, a sample size equal to one. And they've been experimenting with a lot of different approaches for how the body can make ketones. And so Bill gives finally his preview of what he's discovered, what he knows, and what he has learned about all of that experience. It's a marvelous interview, and I would strongly encourage you to listen. That interview aired December the 13th. Now, the other radio show that I aired myself was on December the 16th, and a preview of all of that information and material, and I've written up quite a bit of backup material, is available for you as a member on the Updates from Robert page on the Parkinson's Recovery member websites. So I've got the recording, the replay of my discussion of these two promising therapies, and then again, quite a bit of text material that gives you some additional explanation. So what is the timely announcement? What's the timely news that I really want to cover? Well, first of all, the timely news is that, as a researcher, I have concluded that the best way to understand whether or not, in our case, the therapy is going to be helping people with Parkinson's symptoms or not, is to get early evidence, to get people who are trying it out to give early reports of success. And what I discovered as a researcher is, when you begin to look at those early reports, guess what? The reports that come in after 1,000 or 2,000 subjects are mirror images of the first 10 or 20 subjects. Now, I really am very knowledgeable about quantitative studies because, as a faculty member for 20 years, the research that I did was extremely quantitative. I was the quantitative jock at the university. Everybody came to me for their statistical issues. You'll see in a lot of the publications I've done sample sizes in the hundreds of thousands. And yet I stopped and I noticed that I kept telling my PhD students, you know what, if you really want to learn something about what's really going on, you need to do case study research. Well, the truth is that as a professor, I really had not done any case study research. I hadn't. I was telling everybody else to do it, but I hadn't done any case study research. So I thought to myself, when I resigned my tenured faculty position at the university, I thought, all right, maybe this is my chance. It's actually very difficult in academic publications that are the high quality, esteemed publications to get basically publications accepted if you're not very quantitative. You know, case study research is pretty much poo-pooed. And so I was always doing the quantitative studies because I could really get published that way. So when I left and moved here to Olympia, Washington, I gradually began to decide, okay, what I'm going to do is more intensive case study research. Now, there's nothing systematic about what I have been doing. I don't have sample sizes. I'm not systematically documenting subjects. I'm not taking specific information at all from subjects. All I'm really doing is I'm waiting to hear what people tell me about a particular therapy, and then I just basically make some notes about what people tell me. And again, remember, the whole idea here is, and I know this is true, the early reports reveal in the long run what we're going to learn about the therapy. So if you really want to see compelling evidence in terms of research studies, well, you can wait 20 or 30 years because it takes that long to get the research done. For natural therapies, there's never going to be that much out there because there's not the funding available. Natural therapies, folks can't make much money off of them, so you're not going to see a whole lot of research that's done on any of these natural therapies. So fact is, you have to wait a very, very long time to be able to see anything that has, you know, any kind of sample size whatsoever. So my feeling is, okay, I don't want to wait 20 or 30 years, and I know you don't either. So look, why don't we take some of these brand new inventions, these new therapies, and begin to find out what are the reports that we're hearing back from users. So the first therapy that I want to cover in terms of reports that I've heard is the photobiomodulation therapy. This is the light therapy. It's off of the interview I did with Dr. Lou Lim in Toronto. He's the inventor of this therapy. It's a light therapy device. Basically, it's a little snap kind of a thing into the nose, and then there's also sort of a helmet, and it's a light therapy. And so what have I heard? What are the senses that I get about this therapy? Well, first of all, the kind of surprise this for is I really haven't heard anybody who says it's not working. Now, I would suspect that eventually I'll hear something like that because for most therapies, it's not going to work for everyone. We don't have any reports back of people who say, no, it's not helping or it feels like it's making things worse. We did hear a report from one person who said they were using it every day and their symptoms did get somewhat worse. They called the company and the company reported back, well, we suggest that you use it every other day or every third day, and when they reduce the frequency of use, their symptoms improved. So one of the kinds of observations I want to pass for those of you that might be considering this therapy is that a common report from users is that using this light therapy, it's 20 minutes a day therapy, and some people are not doing it every day but every other day, it doesn't show instant or quick results. You don't use it and all of a sudden, whoa, we feel so much better. It's not like taking an aspirin for a headache. Apparently, from the reports I've heard, you do have to apply the therapy over a period of several weeks to even months. By the way that they've marketed this, which I am very impressed with, you get 6 months to use this after purchase. And if it doesn't do what you need for it to do, then you can get an 80% refund. I thought, whoa, that really reduces the risk significantly. But be sure to realize that if you're going to do this, it's going to take some time and some use and some dedication before it sounds like you're going to be able to notice a shift in your symptoms. Now, I heard about this Vielight, V-I-E-L-I-G-H-T therapy, from a random call from a member of my audience several months ago. And he basically said, you know, I'm really using this therapy and I'm not positive, but I think my tremors are better and I'm feeling a whole lot better. Well, that's what piqued my interest and that's why I actually invited Dr. Lim to be a guest on the radio show. And I was really enthused after interviewing him. I actually heard from this individual who really introduced me to this therapy several months ago, several weeks ago. And he basically said, he's pleased to report that they bought one unit. He's in Central America, and they have a whole congregation of individuals down there who have Parkinson's symptoms, kind of a support group that he was facilitating. And so they were all using this one particular device. And he said that everybody's been pleased with the outcomes, and that I guess six of the people who were users actually decided to purchase their own units. He didn't say that there were anybody that basically reported it wasn't helping. Everybody to a certain extent reported that there was some improvement in some symptoms. So I thought, well, that's a wonderful report to hear. Now, it doesn't sound like you can use this and all of a sudden the symptoms have vanished. That's not the case. But boy, it sounds like there is an improvement. So not just from him, but I have heard from several reports that tremors have been calmed. Again, not eliminated, but it sounds like tremors were less problematic. It's really unclear at this point to what degree the therapy will address balance issues. I have heard from one person who reported that it seemed as though it helped with their gait issues, but we're not sure about the balance. The evidence that I have seen from what studies are available clearly suggests that the therapy can potentially help with dementia, with brain fog, with difficulty with remembering. And I've actually, because of that research evidence, I've actually created a whole presentation for people with dementia and Alzheimer's. I have a passion for getting the news out to people with those problems for therapies that might, in fact, help significantly, because my father had dementia. It was an awful thing to observe. He basically spent the last couple of years of his life in diapers, and that's just really horrible because he was such a competent, intelligent, capable individual. So it looks like the light therapy at the top of the list in terms of ultimate effectiveness would be addressing issues, again, of memory, brain fog, and dementia. One user reported about 3 or 4 weeks ago a definite return of smell, which I thought she was very excited about that, but the jury was out on the effectiveness of tremors and her other symptoms, and she'd only been using it about 3 weeks, but she was pretty excited about the smell. Now, finally, the wife of one 85-year-old man with advanced Parkinson's symptoms, and that's one of the reasons I'm so interested in this, is for people who have advanced symptoms. She reported that after 6 weeks of using this Theolite Neuro device, there were no major improvements, but several minor ones of some consequence. She reported that her husband was more alert, he was sleeping better, his cough was less, and that he had been inspired recently to actually use his automatic peddler. And then finally, apparently, his hallucinations have dwindled. I guess he still has some, but they're not quite as terrible or egregious as they were before he started getting the therapy. So she was basically thanking me for letting them know about this as an opportunity and felt like it had been an answer for a better quality of life, not just for him, but for her as well. And she promised to keep me posted as to what's actually happening. So in the end, that's a handful of subjects. What do we have, about 10 or 12? And they all have scattered kind of reports. What I know about therapies is that their effectiveness is going to depend on what the causes are. And so you may have very differing experience with a therapy like this, and it's possible it really would not provide any relief at all. But then again, it might provide significant relief, so it really all depends. Finally, it's important for me to emphasize that from what Dr. Lim said in the interview and from what I can gather from talking with people who are using it, this is not the kind of thing that's going to heal from the inside out. Think of this more as medicines. So medicines, as we know, they work for, depending on your on and off periods, 1 hour, 2 hours, 4 hours, hopefully maybe 6 hours. Well, this apparently is something that as long as you're using it, you're going to get the effect. But what the study showed was when you stop using it, the symptoms return. So you basically have to continue to use it. So it's very much similar to medications. So in terms of that particular therapy, I think it's promising. And I, as you probably can tell, would like to see as many people as possible take the risk. And it is just that. We don't really have any clear evidence as to how it might help people with Parkinson's, and see the extent to which it might provide some benefit to you. Now, the second announcement, and this is the one that's really timely, is that there has just finally been developed in the laboratory a way to produce a ketone ester commercially. Now, don't get me wrong, Dr. Veach was able in his laboratory to produce a ketone ester through his various chemicals and laboratory facilities, but the cost there, when I found out what he was doing about it 10 years ago, of 1 gram of the ester that he was producing was $1,000. I mean, that's prohibitive. There's no way, even for millionaires or billionaires, that that's going to be of any use. So as it turns out, what actually happened was Dr. Veach collaborated with a researcher from Oxford University in Great Britain, and they were co-principal investigators on a USA Army grant. The grant was focused on encouraging them to develop a source of food for soldiers that had extended periods of assignment out in the field. In other words, they couldn't get back to the cafeteria or access to any food whatsoever. In other words, they didn't want to carry a whole month's supply of food. They wanted something that was light and that actually worked. So they thought ketones might be the trick. Well, as it turned out, they used that grant money to figure out how to actually produce this ketone ester so that it was or is now commercially much, much more affordable and much more feasible. Now, this is brand new, and the reason why it's timely is there's only one or maybe two labs out there. They're both connected to Dr. Veach, so these are not fly-by-night organizations. These are people who are basically formulating the ketone ester off of Dr. Veach's and his collaborators' work. And so basically, they're producing the ketone ester now. I mean, when I say this is new, it really is brand new. And so if you go on to the ordering website, what they're really focused on doing is generating as many pre-orders as possible. That means that you will receive a delivery of the ester. They're saying in March, but the CEO of the company that I had a lot of discussions with, Frank Loza, tells me that he's hoping they'll be able to actually deliver the initial pre-orders of the ester in February. But he said, you know, the laboratory, things happen. If a step all of a sudden messes up, then we have to go back to step one and start all over again. So it may be March before they have the first orders that are delivered. So pre-orders, that's not great because obviously you'd like to be able to receive that instantly. But the fact is that it's the first opportunity for anybody to be able to purchase anything like a concentrated ketone ester. Now, Frank actually, when I talked with him, he said, well, listen, I'll send you a sample. And I said, well, wouldn't it be much better to just send it out to a person with Parkinson? He said, no, 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 I think you need to experience this. So I said, great. So he did send me a sample. He asked me how much I weighed and calculated that for about 155 pounds, I needed about 35 grams of the ketone ester. So it came in the mail in a couple of days. And after a couple of days of a break, I actually took the ester one morning and basically discovered that, yeah, it's definitely something that's very unique. It has a very different taste. I've never experienced a taste like that in my life. So it's a different taste. It's not bad. It's just very, very different. And second of all, I noticed I had much better focus, much better concentration in terms of my mental abilities. It was very clear that it had a profound jump start on all of that. And the other thing that I noticed was I had this little OCD issue with putting, for example, when I'm moving from one office to another, I put my computer in a bag and the connecting wires in the bag, and then I shut up my little case, and then I think to myself, well, did I really put the connecting wire in there or not? And then I'll open it back up. Well, I know I did that. Hello, I just did it. But I want to just make sure, well, when I took the ketone ester, I didn't have to do that. I knew 100%, no problem, that that's what I had done. I thought, well, that's different because it seems like I can't stop myself from doing that. At any rate, I don't have any particular symptoms associated with Parkinson's to report because I don't have those. But I did notice there was a shift. Now, the actual effectiveness of the ester lasts about, apparently, 5 or 6 hours. So it's not long-lasting, but it can certainly provide some initial relief. Now, why am I so excited about this? Well, Dr. Veach feels like this can actually, basically supporting the body's ability through ketones, the natural food for the brain, rather than glucose, which is not the natural source of food for the brain, will probably yield improvements for many, many different illnesses, including Parkinson's disease. So I suspect he's right, and I've actually written up a little 12-page booklet that I'm really finishing right now that explains why. Why, in fact, is that the case? So if you'd like to receive that little booklet, just email me, and I'll be happy to send you back the attachment of the booklet. It basically is titled Two Promising Therapies, and the focus in this booklet is on Alzheimer's and dementia. But I think everything that I'm saying applies to Parkinson's symptoms in addition to dementia and brain fog and memory issues. So in the end, I have to say that I'm enthused because after really focusing my research energies on Parkinson's for 12 years, I think I've got a pretty good handle on the kinds of ways people can heal from the inside out. In other words, address the causes of symptoms. We know pretty much what the causes are, and we have a pretty good handle on the many, many different natural therapies that can address those causes. The problem for a vast majority of people is that you are so low energy, you're so depressed, you basically get to a point where you can't move, you can't talk, you can't function, and to be able to take action on healing from the inside out, it's just not going to happen. And then, of course, the other challenge that I've been so worried about for so many years is that taking medications for many people can work miracles for some months, some years. For some people that I've interviewed, it can be up to 15 or even longer years, which is marvelous. However, as we know, I don't have to hear any exceptions to this, at the point of, let's say, taking medicines for 10 or 15 years, you have to take more and more medicines, then the medicines have shorter and shorter on periods, and then, of course, the doctors are not willing to prescribe more because of the side effects. So it winds up being, oh, no, what can you do now? And, of course, most of you are realizing, well, that time may be coming for you since it seems to be coming for everyone. So what's the solution? How can you hold in the ability of these medicines to continue to be effective? Well, I was enthused and excited from my interview with Bill Curtis because he's taking 5 Parkinson's medications and he's doing beautifully. Basically, the medications are all working just as you would hope. And so it looks to me like the approach of inducing ketones in your body may be a wonderful, wonderful solution for people that are sort of up against that barrier of not being able to take any more medicines or the medicines are just not working. So I'm excited about that. We don't know. We know it's helping Bill, but he's just a subject of one. So we don't know if it's going to help others. But I still have this intuition that I think this might really make a difference. Now, first of all, let me just say, when I say pre-orders, the other little important news, I'll do a little pause to make sure that you hear this. The important news is that in talking with Frank, he happened to slip out the information that, the more money that he can raise on pre-orders, the larger he can make his lab and the more ketone ester that he can make. Right now, they're just a startup, and so they bought their own lab. But, I mean, you can just imagine they're not equipped for large mass production yet. He said, well, we just got an order of $60,000 from a sports team. I thought, oh no, that's what's going to happen. Once the sports teams are realizing that they're going to get this huge boost of energy, then they're going to be ordering this right and left, especially the professional teams. So the problem is going to be, I think, being able to even get access to the ester here within the coming months, and maybe even in the coming year or two. So if this calls out to you, you know, look at the evidence. There's a lot of research now on ketones, and decide whether or not this is something you might want to experiment with, just as Bill has done. And if so, what I want to say is, well, you're going to, as best I know, you're going to really need to pre-order now if you expect to get it within, you know, the next, well, if you pre-order now, you might actually get it in February or March. But if you wait, I'm not sure you'll get it for months and months. So if it's something you want to experiment with, it's brand new. Nobody's gotten it except for people like Bill, who were part of the initial screening of the ketone ester. Now, having said that, if you listen to Bill's interview, and I've talked with the CEO of this Keystone Ester company, and by the way, they're tied to Dr. Veach. Apparently, Frank Loza's wife's godfather is Dr. Veach, so that's the connection. I mean, we're not talking about a separate kind of an endeavor. It's all very combined together, so to speak. And it gives me great confidence to know that Frank and what he says is something that we can really trust. So he's given me some recommendations on different ways to induce ketones in the body. Now, the ester then is the concentrated form. The downside of the ester, as Bill Curtis explains, at least for right now, is it still is expensive. So the little sample that I was given for a one-day experience would have cost about $35. And it may be that I really, in retrospect, Frank explained, well, I probably could have taken about a third of what he actually sent, so it probably would have lasted 3 days. But still, you're not going to be able, unless you're a billionaire, to be able to afford a ketone ester every day. What Bill explains is he basically engages in a number of ways to induce the body to make ketones, and the liver is the organ that actually makes this possible. So there are a lot of different methods that are available to make that happen. You don't have to rely just on this concentrated form of ketone esters. One of the ways that you may be familiar with is fasting. So if you don't eat starting at, let's say, 7 in the evening, and you don't have the breakfast meal until, let's say, 10 or 11 in the morning, then you have a nice extended period of a fast. Your body then is going to be drawing on fat stores in your body to produce ketones. So that's, again, the natural food for the brain. You can also produce ketones through something called ketone salts. Now, there are a lot of companies out there, as Frank has explained to me, that are sort of pitching or marketing ketone salts, and they're trying to say, well, ours is better because it's more quantity, or it's more this or more that. And Frank basically says, look, don't listen to any of that. They're all getting it from the same place, and that's from some source in China. There's really only one source of the ketone salt that Frank recommends. And when you're taking a salt in the day, you're going to infuse your body with about apparently 7.5 grams of ketones. Now, the liver produces about 150 grams, so you can see it's not a huge kind of a blast, just like you get from a ketone ester, but still, using salts is one way to produce ketones in your body. And because this is not available, Frank says, well, look, he would recommend that everybody just start getting the ketone salts, do a little fasting. There's also an approach where you can take something called MCT oil, which is a high-fat oil. You can mix that in coffee and in your coffee drink in the morning. You can take that. Bill has also experimented with a high-fat drink every morning, which also provides some benefit that might not be advisable for you given your dietary needs. But when I say high-fat, it's really scary to hear what's in that drink. It's butter, whipped cream, coconut oil, MCT oil. It's like, whoa, that's a pretty hefty fat kind of a boost. But that's what makes the ketones. So basically, what the body does, and the reason why I think this might provide a huge boost to people with Parkinson's symptoms is the following. When we eat carbs, we basically produce, the body takes that sugar in the carbs and it produces glucose. Glucose winds up being the brain for the food for the brain. Also, when we eat proteins, the same thing happens. Glucose is actually produced, and glucose is what winds up being the food for the brain. Now, stepping back, and I spent a lot of time this week looking at all the research, here's the big picture as I see it. I think what really happens is when the primary source of brain food is glucose, the brain tends to get kind of clogged up and gooped up, so to speak. Those little neural pathways get roadblocked, so to speak. They get sticky. And that's why we have brain fog. That's why we have memory problems. So being able to shift the primary source of brain food from glucose, and just think, glucose, sugar, hello, we know sugar is not good for Parkinson's symptoms, to ketones, which is the natural brain food, it just logically seems to me, thinking outside the box, listen, this seems like this would really make a difference. Now, I outline the various different ways that you can encourage your body to make ketones. Listen to my interview with Bill Curtis, because he explains the kind of approach that he has used. He obviously is not using the ketone ester every day, but he does use it in certain situations where, for example, he's stressed or he has a particularly important challenge, perhaps for work or even a social challenge where he wants to be able to function at his highest capacity, and so he'll take the ketone ester then. Obviously, he's able to notice a marked difference in his ability to function, and I think also to see that his symptoms are not as problematic and his medicines are working much better. So listen to that interview. You'll get a sense of how Bill has carved out his experience with using that concentrated ketone ester. And again, he's been able to use that because he's the research subject through the NIH. Nobody else, I think, pretty much has been able to use it. Now, when you go on to the website, if you decide you want to pre-order this, what you're going to see is there's a lot of testimonials from people who are professional sports athletes from, you know, different kinds of sports. And I think what Frank feels like is, well, there's no research evidence for people with Alzheimer's or Parkinson's, as it turns out, for ketones. So they feel like, well, they're probably safer because they do have some evidence for being able to boost energy. So they're focusing on athletes. That's why I think the sales are going to go off the charts when the professional teams realize that that's a way that they can give their team members a boost of 10 or 15 or even 20% more energy. And, of course, that means that they might be more likely to win their games. You know, when you're talking about professional sports, it's big-time money. And so they'd be willing to spend a fortune if anything is going to boost their energy of their players by 10%. Now, I do have, as you know, I always invite you to submit questions before any of our support group meetings, and I did receive one question, and so I want to address that. So I've had a question that I wanted to ask you, and this comes from Julie, and it says, would appreciate your input. I've been wondering if there's a difference in the V-Lite Neuro device that was available for purchase with good discounts. That's the one where they gave the 10% discount, which is really nice because the device costs $1,749. And the return policy, which I mentioned, was try it 6 months, and if for any reason it doesn't do what it was that you had hoped, you can return it for an 80% discount. So that reduces the risk significantly. So the question here is that device any different from what's known as Biontology or the biophoton therapy? Now, that's off of an interview that I did with Johann Boswinkel in 2012, where he introduced his new invention, which is something called the Chiren, C-H-I-R-E-N. So the question here is, well, gosh, they're both light therapies. Are they complementary? Are they different, et cetera, et cetera? Well, they really are very different, Julie. The Via Light Neuro device is basically something that you push a button, You put it up into your nose and then put your helmet on. You run it for 20 minutes every day. There's nothing else required. There's no practitioner that needs to be involved. You're literally just infusing this light in the cells of your brain. Now, the Bioontology is very, very different from that, and I would say it would be complementary to the Via Light therapy. Bioontology basically is this little quite eloquent invention where they take your own light, the light in your body, and they can tell whether or not there are some aberrations in that light or not. And they can also figure out why. For example, is the reason the light wiggly, so to speak, rather than straight, when it goes down the liver meridian, because there's some kind of an infection in the liver, or perhaps there's a toxin in the liver? What's the reason why the light indicates there's some kind of an issue? So with some diagnostics by a practitioner who has to have a lot of training to do this, they can figure out the source of the problem, and then basically they program an antidote, literally a light therapy that is the antidote, which straightens out the light, and it alerts the body that that's something that the body needs to pay attention to. One of the reasons why the body doesn't heal is, for whatever reason, and there are several important reasons, one of them is whiplash, the body doesn't realize, for example, that maybe in the liver there happens to be a staph infection. The body doesn't really see it, doesn't know that. So one of the things that the Bioontology sessions do is it helps the body recognize, oh my God, look at that, I didn't know that infection was in my liver or my heart or my lungs or wherever it is. We need to go take care of that. And it's amazing, once the body recognizes the presence of the infection, it knows how to heal it. So Bioontology and the Sharin is a very, very, very different approach from the Via Light. They're different. I would just view them as complementary. I would see no reason why you couldn't do both of them, actually. Though, obviously, we don't have any evidence or research to say one way or another, but I know of no reason why they would be contraindicative if you used both of them at the same time. Now, I think there's a second question, and basically, the question is, all right, my impression is that the home use one needs to be used for pretty much the rest of your life. And that's right, Julie. It's just like taking medicines. That's my impression, too. Now, the question here is this true of the Bioontology process? So the question then really turns on, all right, for the Bioontology, is that going to take care of all the problems? And as it turns out, well, no. And if you think, all right, are you going to get rid of all the toxins in your body using Bioontology? Well, let's say that there's a hopeful chance that you will. We don't know one way or another, obviously, but that's what the therapy is designed to do. And yet we're exposed to toxins day in and day out. So instead of thinking of you can do this therapy for, let's say, 12 sessions, and you think, okay, I'm good to go, I'm clean, I don't have any more toxins, I don't have to worry any longer about what it's going to do to me, I don't think that's the right way to think about it. I think the way to think about it is, you know what, we're exposed to toxins day in and day out. You can't avoid it. I don't care how healthy your diet is. Toxins are in the air. We breathe in toxins every day. So my personal feeling, and it's just that, it's my personal feeling, is everyone ought to be detoxing every day, literally every day. And that's basically the approach that I've taken. I figure, all right, I don't know exactly what toxins might be in my body today, but I figure probably got exposed yesterday, so why don't I see what kind of things that I can take. I've been taking something called zeolite, which attaches to the heavy metals in a person's body, and then it helps to be able to clear out those. And so I just routinely, for the last 6 weeks or 2 months, I've been taking a big squirt of the zeolite. Now, I won't do that forever, but I'm doing it right now. So I think the way to think about this is, well, I don't think there's any therapy that can give you long-lasting solution because, again, we're exposed to new traumas all the time, and that creates significant stress, and that aggravates the symptoms. And we're exposed to significant toxins, as I just mentioned. Clearly, one of the big health issues of our century, I think, turns out to be electromagnetic exposure. I mean, everybody's got cell phones. We've got all these satellites and kinds of things that are circling around our Earth that are sending waves of God knows what into our bodies. And so the fact is that it's a problem that we're going to have to learn how to live with, and we just recognize, all right, there's not going to be any one way to solve this, and then we're good to go. We're going to have to just realize we're going to have to adopt certain approaches and therapies that will help us be able to insulate ourselves from that exposure, and then if we do get exposed, ways to clear that out of our physical bodies. So in the end, I've got a much more detailed presentation of these two emerging new therapies from last year, the Theolite Neuro Gamma device and also the ketone ester. So listen to that more elaborate and detailed discussion to see if either one or maybe both call out to you to pursue. As I say, I don't have any strong evidence one way or another to say, hey, this is a sure bet. Nothing's a sure bet. Will it work? Oh, heavens, who knows? Should you talk to your doctor before you make a decision? Of course. As you know, again, I'm not a medical doctor. The last thing I can do is to make a recommendation to anybody about any kind of medical treatment. But speaking as a researcher, based on my understanding of how the body works, it seems like the future of being able to solve the problem of these neurological challenges has to lie somewhere outside of prescription medicines and surgeries. That those have been tried, and they help to a certain extent, thankfully, but they're obviously not the end all. They're not the final solution, as any medical doctor will confess. So it seems to me, speaking as a thinking, intelligent individual, that the solution's got to rest somewhere else. I mean, they've been doing research on medicines for 50 years. Literally nothing has turned up that provides any kind of compelling solution. So I think, and you've probably heard me say this before, I think that the solutions will reside in, for example, light therapies of different types and sound therapies, and maybe even a combination of those two. I think that's where the future of medicine is basically going to be going over the next several decades. So that's my news. And again, the reason that I mentioned in the emails that I sent out about our session today that this was timely is that the ketone ester, again, if you want to pursue that, and after you have a chance to talk with your doctor, I just want to suggest you need to take action now if you expect to get that anytime soon. Now, I'm hopeful that Frank Loza, in the website that he has built to be able to engage this particular service and product for those of you interested, will be able to raise a significant amount of money here in the next month or two, and he will be able to enlarge his lab, and he will be able to have a better quantity of the ester. And yet, as I said, I think the problem is going to be, yes, he will be able to increase his capacity to produce this, but the problem is that the sports teams that have limitless resources, they're going to begin to gobble up whatever is available. So it's a time to get in line and purchase some of that. At least you'll know the extent to which it can provide supplementation to any medicines you might be taking or any other therapies that you might be pursuing. Okay, so let me now check in with each of you to see what's up, to see if you've got any important reports of things that you've been doing or not doing, any questions that you want to ask. I just looked at the question and answer page, and I don't see any questions that were submitted in writing. So best for me to literally just check in with each of you. And again, before I do that, just know that you may just be here to listen. So just because I say hi doesn't mean we have to have a conversation, and maybe you really want to listen and not propose any subjects or ask any questions or provide any follow-up information whatsoever. So let me first check in with the person that's here at the top of the list. And my little page is not working the way I thought it would, which is very frustrating. There we go. Julie, are you there?
Oh, I am here. Yes, thank you, Robert.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So what's up with you?
Well, I'll tell you, it's a medication thing, so I don't know that it's appropriate here, but I'm still getting all of these reactions after I take the medication, and it'll take an hour or an hour and a half to wear off, which means a lot of it off, and I thought, I don't know what exactly the next step is. And I wonder if any of the listeners have that effect, that side effect themselves after they take the meds. I keep thinking I'm allergic to the pill itself, but nobody else seems to think that.
Well, it could be. It could be your body just can't assimilate the medicine. The one thing I would suggest, Julie, is that for each medicine that you take, remember the body can use some of that and the rest of it it has to basically get rid of. And it may be your body is having trouble getting rid of the part that it can't use. So there's a little mantra that I would suggest that you can use. And I've mentioned this to several other people, and they've reported back. They've said, I can't believe it, but this really works. Okay? Are you ready? Are you right?
Yes.
Here's what it is. So you get ready to take the medicine, and you know you're taking the medicine throughout the day, so you want to do this each time. What you want to say is, may this medicine do for my body exactly what it needs, nothing more and nothing less. May this medicine do for my body exactly what it needs, nothing more and nothing less. And you can just write that statement, and then every time you can do the same thing with supplements. Medicines tend to have more side effects, and so it may be more appropriate to always say that with medicines. Say it each time you take a medicine. Just say it. And you can say it out loud, or you can think it, but be sure to go ahead and say it and then take the medicine. And
thank you. I have a variation. Just what you're saying is much more specific. Thank you.
Uh-huh. And let's hope that the side effects are not quite as bad. Clearly, it sounds like it's important here at this point to check in with your doctor. Maybe some adjustments in those medicines are really needed. The other thing, as a resource, Julie, that you might want to consider is that the person that I usually want to mention in reference to medicine side effect problems is the natural pharmacist Ross Pelton. Ross was a guest on my show several times, and he's quite marvelous in terms of being able to support and assist people that have your problems. So he's a pharmacist, and the thing to keep in mind is when you're taking multiple medicines, the medical doctors are specialists in many areas, but they really are not trained, they're not specialists when it comes to what the medicines do. Pharmacists are. That's their specialty. That's what they're trained to do. That's what they went to school for years and years and years. So Ross, I clarified with him the last interview, do you do consultations? And he said, yes. I just have to get permission from the medical doctors that are involved that I'll be part of the team. You know, he has to acknowledge that the medical doctors are the ones that are responsible for whatever, you know, is prescribed. And so you do have to get the approval of those folks. But he's happy to do consultations, and I think the kind of things that he can do is he can maybe make some speculations about, you know, what is the medicine that might be causing the problem, and is there a substitute, let's say, or is there something else that you can do, or maybe it makes sense, given whatever he might recommend, to reduce the dosage of something and see if that doesn't make a difference. So he might be able to just be a detective and look to see what's going on and look at your situation and have a recommendation of maybe some adjustments. And then, of course, he writes a letter to your doctor and also a big report he sends out to you. I think he's a wonderful resource. He spends, I know, a lot of time for each consultation and does marvelous work. So that might be a resource you might want to consider.
And Robert, could you spell his last name, please?
Yes, Pelton. P as in pony, E as in easy, L as in Larry, T as in Tom, O as in on, and N as in Nancy, Pelton. And if you do a little search on the Internet, the way I can easily find him is I just say Ross Pelton Natural pharmacist. That's what he's known as, natural pharmacist. And
one of the doctors thought it was anxiety causing it, and she wanted to put me on antidepressants, and I really don't think that's the case at all, so I could tell him all of that.
Oh, good. So you're using your intuition about what would be the right approach. That's wonderful. Yeah, I think we're always our best doctor. We just ask ourselves, do I need that? And the answer is no. Well, don't do it. That's not a good idea.
Well, it's always with taking the medication, so I thought there's something more. Thank you so much. I will check. We'll make contact with him and see if that would be helpful.
You can explore the possibility and see if you want to pursue that. I can say that he's a wonderful resource, and Ross has not just been a guest on my show. I get an email from him every 3 weeks or so, and he'll say, well, I just found somebody that's doing some interesting things for Parkinson's. You might want to have him as a guest on your show. So he's a wonderful resource for me, and I know he's been a wonderful resource for people who've used him as a resource, you know, when it comes to their choosing what medicines are going to be best for their body. So at least check it out and see if that's something you might want to pursue.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate all of that you put into it for us.
You're welcome, Julie. It's a pleasure and an honor. So let me now check in to Trula. Hello, Trula. Are you there? Hello. This is Robert, and I just opened up a line to Trula, Sacramento, California. Hello. Are you there? You may be talking, but we can't hear you, Drew. I just want to say, I tell you what, I'm going to close you up here, and we'll revisit you when we get through with the other two individuals who've called in. So I'm going to shut that down and open up the line to Susan. Hello, Susan. Are you there?
I'm here.
Hi. So what's up with you?
Well, just I'm having earth-shattering information to share with anyone, but I really feel like I can't think of the name of it, thing that you put on your head.
The Violite Neuro Gamma that I was talking about earlier?
Yes, I really feel like it's helping.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear. Oh my God, how long have you been using it?
Well, I used it for a couple weeks, and then I didn't use it for 2 weeks. Because I was on vacation and didn't take it with me.
Uh-huh.
So now I've been back using it about 3.5 weeks, faithfully. And it's a general all-over feeling of you're just better.
Wow, that's wonderful news, Susan. That's very exciting. Well, when you were on vacation, were the symptoms a little worse than before or about the same?
Yes.
They were worse.
Yes. As soon as I realized I should have taken it with me, because I just felt horrible.
My goodness, that's really interesting. Well, that is an interesting experiment that you did, although I know it wasn't intentional.
Right,
it's interesting.
Right.
It's exactly what they said, though, in the initial little small study that they did, that when they took off the usage, that the symptoms returned. And that's exactly what happened to you. So it sounds like, well, if you get it, it does cost, well, what's the cost, like $1,749? Then you get the 10% discount, so it's 10% off.
Yeah.
That. So it's pretty high, but, you know, if you think about, all right, you're going to be doing that for the rest of your life, I guess it's pretty inexpensive, actually. So in the end, maybe it's not so much of a horrendous economic barrier as I was thinking initially.
No, it's really not. When you think about it, you go for a treatment of some sort, and it's $50 to $75.
Right.
This is not
out
of sight.
Yeah, there's another interview that I did with a company that did light therapy, but it was more a medical treatment. Erconia is the company name, and basically, it took me a while to figure out exactly what they were dealing with, but their little device, and it's just a tiny little, looks like a cell phone, the cost of that was $11,000. And I thought, well, my goodness, I mean, how are people going to afford that? And then finally, when I got into interviewing the guy, I realized, oh, wait a minute, they don't want people to buy that. This is basically for chiropractors and medical doctors and naturopaths to purchase, and then they use that in their clinic. There's a little training session they have. It's got like 10 different settings, and you've got to learn, well, what setting would be best for the person, and then there are different kind of things they can do in their offices. So the downside of that is, well, my guess is it probably does help people, but the downside is, all right, you just have to keep going back. It's like going to a chiropractor every week. You know, well, and you know, when you add that up over 4 or 5 years, you're talking pretty big money. So I thought, well, it seems to me the Vialite thing is more palatable for people because you're in control. You don't have to rely on anybody else. In the end, I guess on the long run, it's not that expensive. And, of course, the final deal that I liked, that I was so impressed with, is, well, they give you the 6 months to try it out to make sure it's going to work for you. I thought, well, that's got high integrity for me. So I thought, great, I want people to know about that.
And, Robert, the other thing is it's easy. It's just easy to do.
Oh, good. So not a big deal. It only takes 20 minutes, right?
Yes. And you could actually do something else while you were doing this.
That's what they said. Oh, they've got pictures of people that are doing computer work and reading and, you know, I think somebody might even be driving. I don't know if that's advisable, but anyway, you can do other things. And so sounds like that's your experience too.
Yes.
Well, good. Well, thank you for that report, Susan. I'm sure other people will treasure that. And it piggybacks on my hope that that's going to be a therapy that really will provide some long-lasting relief.
I think it will be.
That's wonderful news. Thank you so much for calling in and being here with us today, and may your holidays be divine.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And we've got one more person that's still on the line here, and that's Barbara. Hello, Barbara. Are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, very well, in fact. Hi there.
Good. Hi. I don't really have anything positive to report. So I probably, I don't know, you know, the same things we've talked about, Robert, the reactions to the medications. My medications don't work very well anymore. And
yeah.
That kind of thing.
Oh, well, that's a frustration for many people, Barbara.
I really don't know what to do, but, you know, I just have to keep going and trying. You know, I'm doing the DSNR, DNRS, or whatever it is, you know, trying to reprogram.
Yes, that's wonderful. Well, stick with it as best you can.
Do you think it has promise?
Well, so the question I would ask is why are you doing it?
Because I see myself in all the, you know, in how they describe it, because I was made sick by mold exposure too. And if you listen to the testimonies, very often people were made sick by mold exposure. And
right.
They get well. So, you know, I have the symptoms, so I thought, I'm going to try it.
So the one comment that I've got for you, Barbara, is it sounds like you're pursuing it, and yet you're pursuing it hesitatingly, with hesitation. And
well, it's very hard to do, Robert. It's very hard to do.
Yeah, and you've got some doubts about whether or not it's the right therapy.
Right.
So just monitor your own thoughts about what's going on. Remember, thoughts are where it is at. So if you go in and you begin to do it when you've got energy and you're thinking, oh, this is not helping, well, it won't help. It just won't. I don't care what it is. But if you're going in and you're thinking, this is helping me, it will help. So I would just suggest monitor your own thoughts about getting the therapy. A lot of people, it's interesting, you know, we've identified so many therapies out there that help some people a great deal and some people just a little and other people not much. I was awed, actually, when I got into doing this as to how many different possibilities are actually out there and available to people. And what I discovered is there are a number of people who they'll hear about an interview with a person that I've had and they'll think, okay, I'm going to do that. But then they, before they start it, they have this thought, oh, this is not going to work. Or, I can't believe this is going to work. I don't know why I'm doing this. Well, guess what? It doesn't work. It's like, it doesn't work. You know, I mean, you know, if that's the thought that they're holding, then there's not much promise that it'll really be very effective. So I think the process is what you've done is really the way to do it. You realize what the cause is. You know that. You're holding that. And you're holding the intention to heal and clear that. Okay, that's 90%. And then you found a therapy that is facilitating the healing of that. And then you just you hold that and you pursue that. And it may be you might want to look for a companion therapy out there that you can do as well if you're thinking that something else might be needed. But, you know, you want to make sure to hold the thought that this is what's helping my body heal. This is what's helping getting rid of the mold in my brain, in my body. You know, that can be your mantra when you're doing the therapy.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Well, you're welcome. It's so wonderful to hear from you and to see that you connected in today.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, you're very welcome.
Everything you do.
And, yeah, you have, as I said to Susan, may your holidays be spectacular.
You too. Thank you.
You're welcome. So I'm going to check with the questions and answers to see if we've got anything up. No, we don't have any questions that were submitted in writing. We did have a caller earlier that I tried to connect in with, but I can't go back to her because I don't see her up on the listing right now. So it looks like we've had our presentation of new discoveries from December of 2017. And again, if any of you who are listening to this live or to the replay, if you'd like to have the little booklet that I've written on these two new inventions, these two therapies that we discussed here at the outset of our gathering today, then just email me. I'll be happy to send you the little booklet. I've been working on it all week, and it's about done. It's only about a 12-page little booklet or summary of what's going on, and I'll be happy to send that out to you. So send me an email, robert@parkinsonsrecovery.com. Be sure to look at the updates from Robert page on the member website, where you'll see my summary of the two therapies with some links and discussions about, okay, here's what's up. So you'll get a written explanation of what we discussed here initially, and also you'll be able to hear my other more detailed presentation of these two therapies. Well, thank you all for connecting in. This is the holiday season, and for those of you that had time to be able to say hi, we're all greatly appreciative. So thank you so much for being a part of Parkinson's Recovery membership. Be sure to check into the various member websites if you can every single weekday. We update those every weekday. There's lots of treasures in there. I spend a lot of my time in updating each page every day. I'm doing the meditations on different kinds of subjects, and so hopefully over the holidays you'll have enough time to do just that, is to check into those member pages and celebrate the fact that, yes, indeed, you are on the road to recovery. So know that by virtue of the simple fact that you have joined in to this community of individuals who are all dedicated to figuring out solutions to whatever symptoms they might be experiencing, that you too, indeed, are on the road to recovery. And that's what's happening on the somewhat dreary shores of the Puget Sound, where all the women are smart, all the men are handsome, and as you well know, all of the children are truly loved. Thank you so much for connecting in. We'll have the replay up here on the page here, hopefully by the end of the day. So for those of you who want to check back with anything we discussed, you'll be able to access the replay from that support group member webpage. Thanks so much for being with us. We'll connect in with you the last Monday of January in the new year, 2018.